few minutes to talk about who is the blessed. Jesus talked about the blessed a lot. In the New Testament that we read about. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, okay, well, who is the blessed? Well, you know, as we enter the Christmas season, there's no better time to review, I guess, some of the behavior changes that Jesus brought with him when he came to planet Earth, because people were doing all kinds of stuff. Even those that were considered, quote unquote, religious people, they were doing all kinds of stuff. But then Jesus had to talk about the blessed. Amen. And I'm believing today that everybody in the sound of my voice is part of the blessed. Amen? Amen. You're blessed folks. As I look around this room, I see lives changed, including my own. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's a blessing. Is that not a blessing?
It's a blessing?
That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Many of the changes that Jesus brought are outlined in the passage of Scripture that we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. I want to encourage you to join me in the next few weeks as we focus on those changes and letting them become into your life, bring changes into your life. Because that's what God wants. He wants your life to change. He wants all of us to become more and more like him.
Amen.
By the time the Bible actually gets to the Sermon on the Mount, or by the time Jesus actually gets to the Sermon on the Mount, several things had happened with Jesus. First of all, he had been baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. That was the beginning of the process. Then he was tempted in the desert by the devil. You remember that?
Amen.
And then he was directed by God to choose close disciples, and he winds up choosing 12. And you'll learn probably later that there's a reason for the 12. And then Jesus was given permission to start his healing and deliverance ministry. You know, it's very funny. Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, listen, don't marvel at me, because when I leave here, listen, you're going to do even greater things than I did.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe he wants all of us to be doing greater things. But that's what happened. After Jesus went through all this stuff from the baptism in Jordan all the way to start healing people, his ministry started. And I want to take you this morning to Matthew chapter 4 and just read a couple of verses, starting with verse 23, about some of the things Jesus was doing. In verse 23 says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee. What was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues. He wasn't called a church or a temple. It was called a synagogue. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And verse 24 says, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. There's more people walking around here possessed by devils. Hallelujah. But we haven't learned to properly label that. And those which were lunatic, we say they're out of their minds. Something wrong with those folks. And those that had the palsies, that's when your muscles just start losing control. And what did he do? The Bible said he healed them. Everybody say he healed them.
He healed them.
Hallelujah. Don't you know those people were excited? Don't you know those folks were excited? Hallelujah. You let somebody come to a hospital. Listen, you let somebody come to a hospital healing everybody, anything. Hallelujah. Just laying hands, just speaking. You start doing it in a hospital. Don't you see a crowd's going to come? It's going to come from everywhere. Hallelujah. God is good. And the last verse, verse 25 says, and there followed him, because of what he was doing, there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. They were coming from everywhere. They were coming from everywhere. I really believe those few verses, those three verses there, 23, 24, and 25, talks about how Jesus, what his method was for gathering that crowd. I really believe the objective was to gather the crowd. so that they can all hear the same thing at the same time. So when the crowd come, I believe Jesus said now would be a perfect time to instruct the people how to live in the kingdom. Amen. Amen? See, when you start doing that, when we start doing that, when all of us start doing that, laying hands, you say, well, I don't have a title. I can't do that. What title you want? If you want a title, you're in the right place today. Because today I'm giving out titles. What title do you want? I give you permission to use the titles. Whatever title you want, you got them. You got them. But you know what? The devil's not afraid of titles. Are you with me? You remember those guys? You remember those guys in the book of Acts said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. The devil said, wait a minute, I know Jesus. I know his sidekick, but who are you? They thought that just using big words and titles would do something for them. No. You know what the titles do for you? The titles are going to give you extra responsibilities. That the title is going to give you more to do. You want more to do? Get you a title. Any title. Amen? Get you a title. Just go grab one. You can have it. It's all right. You're not going to jail. You can have that. God is a good God all the time. So here was Jesus. And he had all these folks coming to him from every place, not because of his title, not because of his name, but because of what he was doing. Because of the responsibility he took upon himself to heal and deliver and to cure folks. So he had all these probably thousands of people up there, and he said, all right, now's the time to teach them. And this is where we go into the fifth chapter of Matthew's. And let's look at the first two verses. And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came into him. Now, when they said his disciples, they're not talking about the 12 disciples. They're talking about all those people that were following him. And verse 2 says, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. You see, when that scripture says that, we need to realize that thousands of people would know for the first time what the kingdom of God is like. Amen. For the first time in history, they would know it. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament had alluded to the kingdom of God and what was coming, but the people didn't halfway pay them in their mind. And if they believed them, they just believed them for a little while. Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. But then they went on with their life. So for the very first time, we've got these thousands of people. And Jesus up in the mountain. Why a mountain? I really believe he took him up into a mountain so that he could speak downward, so that the audio would carry itself. And it does. It does. You can get up on the top of a mountain and just start talking and people from everywhere would hear you. I believe that was his thing. That was his audio system. He didn't have the speakers. He didn't have the amplifier. So he took him up on the mountains. And he started telling them, listen, because all the people wanted to be blessed. Amen. Don't you want to be blessed? Amen. Don't you want your life to go right in your eyesight, whatever right is? Amen. That's the way these people are. They all wanted to be blessed. They all wanted a blessed life. So what Jesus do? Jesus started talking about who's going to be blessed. Hallelujah. See, the word blessed refers to well-being of those who, because of their relationship to Christ and his word, they receive God's kingdom. That's you and I. We have received God's kingdom. Jesus starts off, listen, and he's gonna describe who's blessed. He's gonna identify nine groups of people who are blessed. Who are blessed. You say, I'm blessed because I go to church. No, you're gonna have to do much better than that. Are you with me? Don't go around telling people you're blessed because you go to church. Amen? Amen. I told you the devil go to church. Might be sitting behind you. I don't know. A lot of people go to church for a lot of different reasons. Jesus said, no, you just. I told you when I went over to Guam over there, you know, I was in charge of that church over there. I went to church every Sunday, but I was drunk every Sunday night. Why'd you go to church? I'm supposed to go to church. Had some good looking ladies in the church. Are you with me? My drinking buddies went to church. That was our time of fellowship. But it wasn't to seek God. Somebody say amen here. Somebody say help that boy. So Jesus wanted to let them know, listen, you get saved, you come into my kingdom, there's certain things I expect from you. There's a certain way you need to walk and live. Amen? You know, it's amazing. A lot of times people say they give their life to the Lord, but they want to just keep doing what they've been doing. They want to keep acting like they've been acting. They want to keep saying what they've been saying. You can't do that. You just can't do that. The Spirit won't let you do that. He starts off, he says, first of all, those that are blessed are the poor in spirit. Look at verse 3. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the real kingdom of heaven. See, we got to recognize that we are not spiritually self-sufficient, which means, you know, we got to be in a position where we know we need God. You got to be. You know, sometimes our heads can get so big that we think it's about us. He said, no, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, we need the Holy Spirit's life. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the Holy Spirit's sustaining grace in order to inherit this kingdom that Jesus is talking about. You can't be all that holy, amen, in yourself because of whatever it is you did in life prior to. He says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are those that know that they need Jesus. Amen. That's what he's saying. Blessed are those that know they need Jesus. Some folks think they just need other people's approval. That's why they go into some sort of religious building. So folks can think that, come on, that they are good people. Let me tell you something, nobody cares. Amen. Nobody cares if you're a good person. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Except the devil, maybe. Amen? So you don't have to front this thing out. Either you done gave your life to God and he has changed you from what you used to be, or you the same old person that's in control of their own life. Ha. Secondly, he says, bless, in verse 4, talking about they that mourn. He said, bless are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You ever go through anything for God? See, the mourn is to grieve over our own weaknesses in relationship to God's standard of righteousness and his kingdom power. To be sad that you're not where you need to be in God. See, that the person that moans has a hunger to get even closer to God. Amen? Not closer to the pastor, but closer to God. Hello? Closer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It also means to mourn over things that grieve God. Now, let me just say this. Now, God didn't keep us in the dark about what he's pleased about or what grieves him. It's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. We're living in a culture now, listen, where we're promoting homosexual as a culture. That grieves God. Amen. That grieves God, folks. Amen? Amen? That grieves God. And if you can participate in that, hallelujah, and not be grieved, then you don't have what you think you have or what you're promoting that you've got. You don't have not just that, but so many other things that grieve God. Hallelujah. So he said, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are hurt by that which hurts God. Blessed, those people are blessed. Those who mourn are comforted by receiving from the Father's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've heard that before. So he says, hey, those people are blessed. And then number three, he says, the meek are blessed. The meek are blessed. Verse 5, he said, blessed are the meek. Why? For they shall inherit the earth. See, the world tell you, listen, don't let nobody think you meek and weak. That's what the world will tell you. The world will say they'll run all over you if they think you're meek or they think you're weak, which may be the same or may not be the same. But Jesus is saying here, blessed are the meek. See, the meek are those who are humble and submitted, hallelujah, before God. They commit their way entirely to God. See, sometimes we think we're so important, listen, that no matter what God wants us to do, we know what's better. We're going to do what we know is the right thing to do or what we want to do. Some of us have confessed salvation, but we won't let God guide us because we think we're all that. We're not all that. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, the humble ones. The humble ones to understand that without God they can do and they can be nothing.
Amen.
Those are people that are blessed. Those, come on now. Are you meek? Are you a humble individual? Amen. I'm not talking about letting anybody run over you. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I'm talking about not having a big head because you got a bunch of money. Or not having a big head because you got a bunch of education. Or not having a, you know what I'm saying? Not having a big head because you live in a palace. Or not having a big head because you got a $125,000 car. Are you with me? God said, no, blessed are the meek. Blessed. Hallelujah. Number four, he said, blessed are the spiritual hungry. Look at verse 6. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Not after fame, not after fortune.
Amen.
Are you with me? Amen. Let me tell you a little secret here. Hallelujah. I didn't tell you that before, but listen to me. Once you learn to hear God and commit yourself to doing whatever he tells you to do, whenever he tells you to do it, however he tells you to do it, you're always going to have more than enough.
Amen.
You're always going to have more than enough. God's going to find a way to bless you. He's going to find a way to bring more resources into your life. Does somebody here believe that?
Amen.
Anybody believe that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But when you have a hunger to just do the right thing, he said, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's righteousness? Hearing and obeying God. That's what's righteous. You want to live a righteous life? Then start hearing and obeying God. Start hearing and obeying God. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to bless you. And then he said, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Don't get in a situation where you just constantly tell yourself, see something, I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to have that. Come on now. If you got to have something, have spiritual righteousness. Have a desire to please God. This thing is real. It is real. It is real, folks. Amen? Not trying to hype anybody, but it's real. Just because we can't see it or taste it or touch it or feel it doesn't mean that it's not real. This thing with God is real. There is a spiritual world out there that you can't see, taste, touch, or hear. It exists. It just exists all the time. I remember that experience that I shared with you before when I was over in Vietnam and I almost died over there. And I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. I didn't see heaven. I didn't see hell at that time. Didn't see any of that. But I did experience, listen, I did experience just leaving my body, leaving, traveling through this tunnel. I didn't understand it. But one thing I knew, subconsciously, I knew that I was dying. I knew that. I knew that. They had me sitting in a chair, and I started saying things like to the corpsmen that were there, the people that were medically working on me. I started giving names. I said, listen, give this item out of my locker to this person, and give this to this person, and give this to that person. Because intuitively, I knew I was dying. Are you with me? You will know, wait a minute, when you get ready to die, you will know you're dying. Unless it happens so quickly, so quickly, so quickly. In my particular case, the two young men that was waiting on me, that gave me the wrong stuff to cause the problem, you know, they didn't know what to do. But because of God and because of God's plan for my life, He allowed someone to come into the building that had a lot more knowledge than these two young men. And I could hear his voice. I couldn't move, couldn't do anything because I was traveling through this tunnel, going wherever I was going. Amen. Chances are, now that you look back, I probably knew where I was going. Amen. And this young man, this person that came in there and said, well, what's wrong with him? And they told him, they said, well, give him this, give him that. And they did. And I came back. I came back. Death is real, folks. You would have thought that would have been enough to change anybody, but it didn't change me. Amen. It was just an experience that I had. And I think God was just simply preparing me for whatever He had for me to do down the road. The fundamental requirement for all godly living is to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. There's no use sitting in this building, listen to me, saying amen, 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 but then go outside these doors and do stuff that you know not right. That's a trick of the devil. Devil's got control of your mind and your body. That's just a fundamental requirement for all godly people, is just to want to do right. And if you're having any struggles, all you got to do, hallelujah, is say, God, help me with these struggles, and mean it. Mean it. But you got to mean it. You can't just say it like it's magic words. You got to mean it. And somehow, some way, God knows when we mean it. Something happens when you mean it. Something happens. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye, we heard that this morning, seek ye what? First. That's top priority. You know why I stop? I'm saying, Lord God, we don't really understand this thing. But you know, one of the things I want everybody in here to do when they leave here is come to some sort of understanding in your own mind. Why are you here? And I'm not saying here. I mean, why are you on planet Earth? If you have to die, you have to go through all kinds of foolishness. I mean, if you have to be born, go through all kinds of foolishness and then die, why are you here? I mean, why be here? What is all this about? What? Why be here? The only logical answer for me, now that I have a different relationship with God, is that we're here to do God's purpose. We're not an accident. I don't care who your mom and daddy was. You're not an accident. You're here to do God's purpose, and you only got so much time to do it. Amen. Does anybody here believe that? Amen. If that is the truth, then the number one thing in life should be doing whatever God wants you to do, because you don't know what it is. That just makes sense to me. That just makes sense. Remember John the Baptist? You remember the story of John the Baptist in the New Testament? John the Baptist was just a few months, you know, older than Jesus. So he's early 30s. You know, he knew that he was there to introduce the world to the Messiah. He was there. That was his whole purpose. Whole purpose. Mom and daddy, old people. Oh, when he was born. But that was his only purpose in life. Not that he might have known that was the only purpose, but we know now that was his only purpose. So he did. Jesus came. John baptized him. Listen, And a short while later, while he was in his very, very, very early 30s, he was killed. He was dead. You say, that's a terrible thing. Well, my response to that is it? He accomplished his purpose. And his purpose changed all of us. So when we come to the realization, and I really believe a lot of people confessing salvation have not a clue of why they're here. Why are you here? Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to do the right. No. You're here for a purpose, and you will never, ever enter that purpose until you learn to hear God's voice, and then you commit yourself to doing whatever he tells you to do. Hallelujah. Suppose John the Baptist would say, I'm going to mess with that dirty water. I don't know, man. John had got his little disciples around him, people that were really looking up to John the Baptist. He could have said, I ain't baptizing nobody else. Even before the Messiah comes, John could have said, hey, Ray, come baptize this guy. He didn't do that. Why? Because that was his purpose. You have a purpose. And it's not important that you don't know what it is. The only thing that's important, I don't know how many times I've said this, so God's trying to get to somebody. The only thing that's important is that you learn to hear God's voice and you do exactly what he tells you to do 24 hours a day. And eventually you will get to your, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was born to be in a husky. Whether you believe that or not, I was born for this assignment. Amen. I don't know how long this assignment will last, but until it comes to an end, I'm going to just do whatever God tells me to do. What about you? Amen. Are you going to do what God tells you to do? That's what Matthew 6:33 is all about. It said, but seek ye what? First. Everybody say first. First. That means above anything else you want. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And there's a promise that goes with that. He says you learn to listen to him. You learn to obey everything that he tells you to do, no matter how hard it is for you to think about doing. He says, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. That's why I can tell you, if you learn to listen and obey, you'll never have to worry about having enough. Never, never, ever, ever have to worry about that. Never. Never. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. The spiritual condition of Christians all throughout their lives will depend on their hunger and their thirst for the things of God. Do you want to just be popular? Do you just want everybody to like you? Or do you really have a hunger to do the will of God? Answer that for yourself this morning. Answer that. Hallelujah. The fifth category of person that are to be blessed are the merciful. Look at verse 7. Jesus, now this is Jesus talking. He's explaining it to these people. Hallelujah. They say, we want to be blessed. He said, all right, let me tell you who's going to be blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen? See, the merciful, the people that are merciful, they're full of compassion. And they're full of pity toward those who are suffering either from sin or from sorrow. It is so easy. It is so easy to position yourself against somebody that you think is doing wrong. Hello? It is so easy to get into a position where you start talking about them. If not talking about them, literally, you start thinking bad thoughts about them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gone through what I've gone through in my life, I realize now, listen, most people are not bad people. I don't know if anybody's bad people, but I've learned that a whole bunch of people are being controlled and directed by a spirit that they never chose. I believe that with all my heart. And once the devil get control of their life, they may do anything. But Jesus saying, listen, don't be hard toward them. Hallelujah. But be merciful. And if you be merciful, I'm going to bless you. Now, you know that's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. You had anybody make you mad lately? That's not. The sixth group of people are the people that have a pure heart. He says in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. See, the pure heart are those who have been delivered from sin's power by God's grace. And they strive without deceit. That means they're not trying to trick anybody. They try to please God and be like him. See? Yeah. See, let me tell you something. You'll never really understand this thing until God delivers you from something. Are you with me? If you never had a need to be delivered from something, you're really never going to understand it. But the reality is that all of us have something that we need to be delivered from. All of us. Amen. But when you are, listen to me, your heart becomes changed. It becomes pure. It becomes like God's heart. Hallelujah. It becomes like God's heart. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. I remember, I think it was Eva's uncle, Man. Remember Mr. Man? Mr. Man came from Norfolk just before he died. Listen to me. Man, I didn't know him extremely well, but I knew him. And, you know, he was an alcoholic, and, you know, he's on some sort of homeless, sleeping wherever, wherever he goes, had some sort of government check, and that would go in the first few days of receiving that. You know the picture. You know the story. But for some reason, hallelujah, and I believe the reason was God wanted to bring him into his kingdom. Just before he died, he wound up here in this area, and we were able to minister to him, minister with him, minister for him, get him better clothes and all that good stuff that goes along with that, and he received Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? All those years he had been going through, listen to me, at the bottom of the barrel. Amen. But then toward the end of his life, hallelujah, he saw where he was and where he needed to be. Yes. Hallelujah. Never, I don't think he's ever really a religious type of person. Mm-hmm. Amen? He's just a guy that got caught out there. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will take you further than you ever thought about going. Keep you there longer than you ever thought about staying there. That's why it's so important to get from under his grips as early as possible. Amen? Listen, if you say that you got saved but you're still doing drugs, there's a problem here. There's a problem here. Amen? It's something you haven't given to God. It doesn't mean you're not saved, but it means that you love something else better than you love a relationship and righteousness with God. And if you give it to him, he'll just take it. He'll just take it. You can't get rid of it. Just give it to him. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. To see God means to dwell in his presence, both now and in his future kingdom. Hallelujah. And it simply means, let me tell you something, the pure in heart are simply those folks whose motives are right. Their motives are right. Hallelujah. You know, as we go through this morning, and we're almost at the end of this, but listen, as we go through this, this is the time to examine ourselves and say, well, what kind of person am I? What type of Christian am I? Are you with me? This is the time to just evaluate yourself based upon something Jesus said. The seventh group of people are the peacemakers. In verse 9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called the children of God. See, the peacemakers are those who have been reconciled to God, and now they strive by their witness and by their lifestyle, come on, to bring other people, including their enemies, to peace with God. Peacemakers. That's what you're doing when you're leading people to God. You're becoming a peacemaker in their lives, because without God, they don't really have any peace. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker today, or you just cared about yourself? Blessed are those that bring people into the peace of God. And the only way you're going to get into the peace of God is to turn your life over to God. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Don't fall for that trap of, well, as long as everybody think I'm a good person, nobody cares. They may tell you they care, but they don't care. Because most people are just thinking about themselves. So if you want to impress somebody, impress God. Impress God. Just impress God. God is a good God all the time. The eighth group is the persecuted group. Now this is the tight. This is when it gets tight. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake. Not for your sake, but for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. If you haven't been persecuted by somebody, just keep breathing. Just keep breathing. The devil will use whoever and whatever he can to bring persecution in your life. Now, the devil's not interested in bringing you necessarily social or physical pain. He's trying to get you out of God's plan. That's what the persecution is all about. See, persecution can come from many directions. We can get persecution from the unsaved world. We can get persecution. Listen to this now. You can get persecution from your family. Oh, no, my family loved me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can get persecution from your family. It might be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncles, whoever. The devil will use whoever he has control of. We need to understand that. It's not necessarily that person, but that person's life is open up to the enemy. And if the devil wants to bring you down, he will use whoever. And the goal, once again, is to get you off track from God. See, if you get to hating people, you're going to get off track. We already saw that. You're going to, hallelujah, you're going to get off track. So the devil will use people to persecute you, to treat you bad, to talk about you, to bring you down if they could. Amen? So that he can keep the plan of God from operating in your life. And Jesus said, don't do that. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness and still stand. And still stand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly. Everybody say, that's me. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Somebody gonna talk about you. Hello? Somebody gonna try to get what you got and take it from you. Hello? Somebody gonna try to persecute you in some sort of way if you're living righteous for God. That scripture say, hey, look, if you can't handle that, look, you can't be in the kingdom because they're coming and they're coming for you. I've never seen so much foolishness my whole life till I commit my life to Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness to that?
Amen.
You'll be sitting around and be saying, what's wrong with these folks? And the devil will use whoever's closest to you. Because that person is, and the love for that person is what gets you off guard. And gets you doing and thinking things that you ain't got no business doing and thinking and saying. But he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then the last group, the reviled. I'm going to take you to verse 11 and 12. This is Jesus once again. He says, blessed are you when men shall revile you. What does that mean, preacher? That means to insult you or talk about you. That kind of goes along with number 8, that persecution. Hallelujah. You think everybody's going to talk good about you? There's probably some folks out there right now trying to tell some other folks about how bad you are. You stick on that. Come on now. You stick with God. Amen. I told you, ain't no use trying to get everybody to love you. Listen, get God to love you.
Amen.
And you'll be all right. It says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, there's that word again, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is Jesus talking. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. So he said, let them talk. The more they talk, the greater your reward is. If you can stand still and not get like them. Are you, you're not at war against anybody. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here today? God's trying to free us all up. He said, you ain't at war against anybody. If they start talking about you and persecuting you, that's simply a sign that the devil has got in their lives. And you need to start praying for them. If anything, saying, Lord, get them free. Get them, hallelujah. Somebody know what I'm talking about here today? Yeah. He said, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets, which came before you. In other words, Jesus said, this is not a new trick the devil been playing. The devil did the same thing with the prophets that lived hundreds of years before you lived. That's what he's saying. He said, this is not a new game. It's not a new game. God wants to bless us, brothers and sisters. He does. He wants to bless us. He said, but he wants us to examine ourselves. In the future, when you say to somebody that you're blessed, please examine yourself to determine whether you are truly, truly blessed. Amen. Those folks that can live within these nine categories, Jesus said, you're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're just blessed. Hallelujah. Let me just review those again. Those that are poor in spirit, those that mourn, hallelujah. Those that are meek, the spiritual hungry, hallelujah. Those that are hungry for righteousness, the merciful, those that are full of mercy for other people, the pure in heart, hallelujah. The peacemakers, the persecuted, hallelujah. The reviled. If you can deal with all these things in your life, listen, and still hang on, still stay strong, still trust God, still believe God, hallelujah. Jesus said, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. My prayer is that each and every person in the sound of my voice would really understand where God's trying to take them. Hallelujah. And the truth that will come in his life, in your life. Amen? Amen. God is good. I believe God has raised up this ministry just to simply tell you the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just to tell you the truth. If one thing you're going to get from this pulpit is the truth. Amen. That's what you're going to get, the truth, so that you can live for God. God is raising up an army, and you're part of it. You're part of it. I know some people don't believe me, but let me tell you something. We got over 80 churches just in this little geographical area. But because of the truth that you may have received in the last X number of years, listen, I believe God can put you in a circle of any of those people from any of those churches, and you have something in you that they never heard before. They just never heard. God's getting ready to do something in a Ahoskie. He said the next major move in America, spiritual move, is going to start in a place called Ahoskie. So you're here in the right time, in the right place. And God today is calling you a blessed. You're a blessed person. Amen. Let's just go to God in a word of prayer before we take communion. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your people have heard your word. Yes. Father God, you examine them and let them examine themselves, Lord God, based upon the things, the nine group of folks that you have talked about who are being blessed. Let them receive it, Lord God. If there's anyone here that needs to make any change, Lord, in their life, let them call out to you, Lord God, for help, for assistance, yes. Believing and trusting you, Lord God, to bring whatever change that needs to be made. Now, Lord God, bless your people. Bless your people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen.